From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the very first day of June 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jerry Gulke of the Gulke Group out of Chicago, Illinois. A bit later in the program, we'll hear from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota with an update of crop conditions in each of their region. Yesterday, USDA NAS released that crop condition report. It showed 72%, by the way, of the corn crop around the nation was either in good or excellent condition. That's 1 percentage point better than the 30-year average. Also this afternoon, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's what the numbers look like in Chicago on a Wednesday. July contract in the corn pit up 9 cents today at $4.13¾. September at $4.15, up 8¼. And December corn at $4.16¼, 7¾ higher. The March at $4.23, up 7¾. Soy complex now, July beans at $10.99¾, up 21¼. August $10.95½, up 19 cents. November beans at $10.68½, up 12¾. January $10.64¼, 11½ cents higher. July bean oil at $32.19, up 37 cents. August at $32.30, up 36 cents. Bean meal futures at $3.99.10, up $2.50. August at $3.87.60, up $2.30. Wheat futures July contract $4.73¾, 9¼ cents higher. September at $4.85, up 9½. And the hard red 8¾ higher at $4.56. September at $4.72¼, up 8½ cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $121.40 in the June at 30 cents higher, August at $117.37½, up 67½ cents. Feeder cattle August contract $146.32½, 77½ cents lower. September at $144.70, down 62½ cents. And lean hogs June contract $81.12½, up 55 cents for 100 pounds. July futures at $82.70, $1.25 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You may always find our programming online and on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Wednesday afternoon, it is the very first day of June. Jerry Gulke of the Gulke Group now joins us. Thanks, Jerry, for taking the time this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's a good way to start the new month, I think.
How long have all your crops been in? I take it you're probably finished.
Yes, barely. We had some corn. I thought I was going to have to replant half my corn, and so I put in flags here and there, and I drive by, and all of a sudden there's another spring coming up, and I thought we were leafing out under the ground, but when actually what it was that I think it was Mother's Day weekend, maybe it was, or whenever we got down to 31 degrees. That really slowed down that corn, and I think it tried to go backwards lower to where it was warmer and then decided to come back up again. So we just had some stuff that emerged, and I think, we didn't replant anything. I have about 40 acres that is questionable, and I just said the heck with it. Of course, then it rained. You know, when it rains, it solves a lot of things. It helps me make a decision. If it's too wet, I can't do anything, so I can blame what. But all in all, it looks good. If you didn't think any otherwise, you'd say this is we're off to a pretty good start considering what we've been through with the volatility and the temperature, at least in the month of May. You
know. I want to stick with your corn crop coming up because it did set there, and a lot of it did across that Mother's Day weekend. It was cold. Any concerns that will cause some yield problems later on?
Well, you'd have to think so, or these technologically enhanced seeds are better than I think. I don't think I can get a yield like last year, and I know we have plants in Iowa that have had problems, a mess, so to speak, guys, that big farmers are going in with, 24-row planters and replanting right in with the same seeds and so forth, and they see a blank spot they're planting, but really kind of depressed in that northwest quadrant of Iowa and then across the border of northern Iowa, southern Minnesota. There's been some, emergence problems. Nobody thinks they can get a above average crop. They're just hoping for an average crop. And so we'll see. You know, if it turns dry and hot, I'm going to be glad that my population's down 15% or 20% in some places. And maybe that'll help me in the long run. You know?
Now turn your attention directly to the marketplace. What took place in Chicago today?
Well, some interesting things. If you look at the, and I sent you some charts that you have, but you look at December corn, you know, they went down pretty hard and broke a steep uptrend. You would think that the steep uptrend we've been in corn and beans, you've got a setback sometime. I mean, you know, we get real nervous when beans drop 15 cents, but we don't talk much when it goes up 20, you know. But so we've had that pullback in corn, and it broke the trend line. Kind of, I call it a sucker search, looking for someone with some sell stops to sell that corn. Still too early in the season, I think. And we had hoped or anticipated that there's a lot of uncovered end users out there. And lo and behold, they came in and not only rallied back above that trend line, but posted a key reversal higher, I think, in maybe, I think for December for sure, and maybe September and July. So, you know, for the technical guys out there, maybe you're halfway there. Maybe it doesn't mean as much, but it's certainly not bearish. And that was really a godsend. Well, now when you look at today's action, you started the 1st of June, got a good response in corn and beans, and even wheat. So now you raise your bar a little bit higher, and we have very little sold for new crop, if any, in corn. And so now you use today's flow. So kind of like we've been talking since January, you don't want to close below the previous, you know, rally move. And now we've got a new bar under there that says what would have to happen for corn to go below today's last night's low. Even after you've had a crop progress that was looking pretty good, ratings aren't in disaster. There was nothing out there to tell you that, you know, anything was bullish, and yet there we went. But there are a lot of orders under there by end users wanting to buy grain lower. We are competitive in the world now against Argentina, against Brazil, especially Brazil. I think it's like 40 cents over us. You know, they didn't even buy meat corn from us. And Argentina is still above us a little bit or close. And in beans, we're competitive with Argentina, and they have a poor quality. So I think even though some people out there think, well, they're going to buy the cheap stuff because they'll buy lower quality and save a little money, I'm not so sure. I don't think you want to mess with figuring out what kind of meal you're going to get out of quality beans that are uncertain, especially out of a country like Argentina that's in flux. And can't say anything good about it. Brazil's situation as well. But this is what we needed to have happen. And plus, I think today, depending on the flows in the dollar, I think we'll have a key reversal down in the dollar, which is couldn't happen at a better time. You need a bull needs eat all the time when we've got some ammunition out there to say that maybe the dollar will help us. It's rallied enough now, so you got benchmarks you can look at. No matter whether you're bull or bear, you can make a decision and say, I got to do something if we take out today's lows that we posted last night in anything out there, and maybe we got to look at the dollar going a lot higher. And I'd like to see the two together. If the dollar is going to go up, I want to see grain going down, but I don't see grain collapsing until we get a better handle on what kind of crop we got coming. It's only June 1st, not July 4th.
Do you think that which we have built into the marketplace for price now reflects the problems out of South America for both corn and soybeans? And is there very much premium for a potential problem built into the marketplace in the way of weather in the United States?
Well, I don't think you have a weather market yet in there. I think what we've reflected is the problems we had in losing bushels in South America in both corn and beans. We've erased any kind of big surplus we thought we were going to have here. And I think we may start the weather. I don't think it's in there yet. I think we went through a weather market in South America. Started really in January, February, when there was some hints of it happening. And, you know, we were seven straight weeks up. And I talked about it in a BTN column where, you know, the soybean meal, normally, at least the old traders, and there are very few of those left on the board of trade, but they used to say, you know, a weather market exhausts itself in about 7 weeks. Well, I don't think we had one in the U.S. yet, but we have an equal supplier of beans in South America, and we were 7 weeks higher starting, you know, that really in April when we started rolling in meal. So maybe the pause that we had is just a refreshment until we take another leg higher. I don't like to look at targets up there, but if you look at it technically, there's nothing technically in any of these markets to tell you that you got a problem. Now, you know how it is when they go straight up. Sometimes you don't know until they retrace 25% that you've lost the top, but it looks pretty good. And we'll use technical indicators to tell us, you know, a key reversal down or something. And going to be pretty hard to do after you've had a key reversal up. This is going to be pretty exciting if we can continue this during the week.
Would you apply the 7 weeks to corn, and does that mean we're now in a fourth week if we close out or in our fourth week of the uptrend?
I think you got to prove to some of these guys that there's going to be a weather problem. We have a hard time even with our own clients, you know, that have been reading our stuff, that have been pretty friendly right along, saying, I don't care what you say anymore. I got a good crop growing. I don't believe all this stuff about a drought. I'm going to sell corn. Well, you're 21 and you're growing up. You can do as you please. But I don't think we have a weather market yet. I think the people that there's a lot of bears out there yet, at least closet bears, you know. You read the ag talk stuff out there, and it's kind of too bad because a lot of people sold too soon. And this is the type of year where you could leave too much on the table, or you end up being one of those folks in maybe where it's going to be dry, if those weather mongers or whatever say that it's going to get hot and dry, it's going to be a terrible 4th of July. If they're right, that bullseye looks right over Illinois. Suddenly, if you got a 20% loss in corn yield, that'll make the market pretty exciting because we're very close to, on beans, we are going to produce less in the world than we're going to use. So we're relying on surplus this year. And what happens in 2017, I think this is a lot more futuristic. But in corn, you're not going to run out before you start harvesting because we got 1.8 billion bushels left over. You could have a 400 or 500 million bushel hiccup and get you, still not in a problem where you would justify $5 corn. But that doesn't mean that the speculator and the funds can't go after this stuff. And so far, if you listen to a lot of the advisors that are out there, you got to sell any rally. You got to sell $8 beans because they're going to $7.50. You got to sell, or never give up above $4 corn because there's so many orders above there. The market did what a bull market should do. It went right through there and sucked up all the corn and beans we could sell. And now we transferred that to strong hands. And now we'll see what the speculator and what the end users do with this stuff. It looks like we've got a lot of business coming in corn and beans both the last three months of this marketing year, which is what we need to tighten up our supply a little bit ending stocks to make next year look better, especially in soybeans.
Patience, then, I take it is the word. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Yep, thank you.
Jerry Golke is with the Golke Group out of Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online and listen again anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. As of Sunday, the 29th day of May, 94% of the corn crop had been planted around the nation. That compares to 92% on the five-year rolling average. 78% of the crop is up and emerged. 75% is the rolling five-year average. In the first crop condition report of the year, 60% of the corn is said to be in good condition, 12% excellent. That categorizes as 72% good to excellent and is actually 1% better than the 30-year average for the first condition rating of the year. As of this particular week, only 18 of the 30 years reporting on this week, the 21st week of the year. Soybeans now, 73% planted, 66% is the rolling five-year average, 45% are now emerged, 40% the rolling five-year average. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region. Rain showers hindered fieldwork in Iowa during the week ending May 29, 2016. There were reports of standing water in some fields. Virtually all of Iowa's corn crop has been planted, and corn emerged reached 90%. That's 2 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of normal. 77% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Soybean planting reached 88% complete, 9 days ahead of last year and 10 days ahead of normal. Soybean emergence reached 55%. That's 3 days ahead of both last year and normal. Oats headed reached 24% this week, 9 days ahead of last year and 1 week ahead of the five-year average. Oat condition was rated with 82% good to excellent. Although frequent rain showers slowed progress, first cutting of alfalfa was 35% complete. That's 6 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of the five-year average. Both hay and pasture conditions were rated with 78% good to excellent. Livestock conditions were described as good with very little stress. That's the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress Report for the week ending May 29, 2016. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA National Agricultural Statistics, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rainfall was near average last week, but southern parts of the state were generally wetter than normal, while central and northern areas received generally below normal rainfall. The state average precip was just over 1 inch last week. Temperatures were above normal around the state, with northern areas 9 to 10 degrees above average and southern areas 3 to 4 degrees above normal. Accumulated growing degree days since May 1 are lagging behind normal in most of the state. Soybean planting advanced 21 points and is now 72% complete, compared to 70% for the 5-year average. 45% of soybean acres have emerged 2 points behind normal. The condition of the soybean crop was rated 7% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 71% good to excellent. Corn planting moved up 5 points to 94% complete, 2 points behind normal pace. 87% of the crop has emerged compared to 86% normally. The condition of the corn crop was rated 6% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 71% good to excellent. The southeast portion of Illinois is still well behind in corn and soybean planting due to wet field conditions. The winter wheat crop is now 94% headed, compared to 91% normally. 9% of wheat acres are rated in very poor to poor condition, 33% are fair, and 58% are in good to excellent condition. In other crops, sorghum is 8% planted, oats are 95% planted, and 23% headed. The alfalfa hay first cutting is 55% complete, and other hay harvest is 37% finished. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Above average temperatures aided crop development, but multiple rain showers made it difficult to complete planting and cut hay in some areas. Field activities for the week did include planting, applying herbicides, and cutting hay. 92% of the Minnesota corn crop has emerged, a day behind last year, but 13 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn condition was rated 71% good to excellent. That's up 6 percentage points from the previous week. Soybean planting was 95% complete, and 67% of the soybean acreage had emerged. That's equal to last year and 11 days ahead of average. 44% of the spring wheat acreage was at or beyond the jointing stage. That's slightly behind last year, but 2 weeks ahead of average. Spring wheat condition was rated 70% good to excellent. 64% of the oat crop was at or beyond the jointing stage, with scattered reports of heading. Oat condition was rated 81% good to excellent. That's up slightly from the previous week. The barley crop was 29% at or beyond the jointing stage, with condition it rated at 76% good to excellent. That's down 3 percentage points from the previous week. Dryable beans were 92% planted and 45% emerged. Sunflowers were 94% planted. That's 2 weeks ahead of last year and 22 days ahead of average. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Farmers worked long hours to catch up on corn and soybean plantings while the weather was warm and dry. The statewide average temperature for the week was 71.0 degrees, 6.3 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 2.09 inches, with a statewide average of 0.37 inches. Corn planted was 86% complete, compared to 93% last year and 86% 5-year average. Corn emerged was 60% complete, compared to 76% last year and 71% 5-year average. While planting progress remains behind last year, it is on par with the 5-year average. Some fields were replanted this week due to poor emergence from the cold spell that occurred earlier in the planting season. Additionally, there are some concerns that more rain is needed to help the freshly planted corn crop emerge. The corn stands that have emerged are 69% in good to excellent condition. Side dressing of nitrogen and ammonia has begun. Winter wheat headed was 91% complete, compared to 73% last year and 80% 5-year average. Spraying for head scab continued this week. While some rust remains present in wheat fields, wheat condition remains stable. Soybeans were 63% planted this week, compared to 74% last year and 66% 5-year average. Soybeans were 29% emerged, compared to 44% last year and 44% 5-year average. Planting progress with beans is catching up to last year and the five-year average. Some spots in the south remain too damp to plant. Farmers reported that the soybean crop is emerging evenly. Many farmers took advantage of the dry week to cut and bale alfalfa and other hay. Some of the hay crop in the south was of poor quality from weed pressure and limited access to fields during the rainy weather. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 29, 2016. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians from Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa for their weekly updates of crop progress across their regions. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, of course. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's the very first day of June. You can find all of our programming online at willag.org. That's willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here now from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start in the southern plains. I know Texas, to begin with, has had an awful lot of rain. What kinds of conditions are happening there, and do we have concerns?
Well, I think there is a little bit of concern because the mere frequency of rain has been very high in some of the wheat country there from parts of Oklahoma and Texas. And I think the majority of the crop is probably far enough along in the harvest, actually, in the far south, that perhaps it's not going to have a huge impact other than just delaying field work. But with that said, there is certainly enough moisture here that grain quality is going to be slipping lower in some of the minor wheat-producing areas in central Texas. Now, the true hard red winter wheat production area is probably not seeing a high enough level of rain frequency and intensity to really seriously hurt that crop. But it is being impacted, and certainly dry weather is needed. We are going to see dry weather evolve starting on the weekend, and we'll probably see dry and warm weather through the weekend and next week as well. That should put us back on track here for at least protecting the crop, but a small portion of it may be hurt. Now, the central plains, weather conditions are really very good. Not much precipitation will occur now for a while. They've had plenty. They definitely have some wet weather disease going on there, but it looks like good maturation conditions will occur over the coming week there.
And then move into the Corn Belt, where southeastern Illinois, along with Indiana, Ohio, had been behind, though it appears that they've caught up in the last week.
Well, it looks like the lower Midwest in general is probably going to see less frequent, less significant rainfall. We've seen this trend already for the past 30 days. The percentage of normal precipitation in May was way below average in much of this region, but we had so much coolness around, we couldn't dry down sufficiently. We also had small weather systems coming and going through the region fairly often, creating the problem of delayed field work. But as you mentioned, we've come around now, and we are caught up. And the situation is mostly good at the moment, but with the lighter precipitation coming up over the coming week, much of the lower Midwest will probably see that ground firm even more, and eventually we'll start talking about the need for rain, but that's probably not something that will happen for another week, a week and a half. And in the meantime, the northern parts of the Midwest will see a regular occurrence of shower and thunderstorm activity. There'll be plenty wet across the Great Lakes region, but since most of the field work is winding down now, the impact of that is not going to be very great outside of some spraying activity.
And finally, let's flip on over to the other side of the planet, where they raise the second largest corn crop on the globe. That would be in China. What kind of conditions there?
Conditions were fairly good for quite a while, but we slipped into a dry mode here not too long ago across what they call the North China Plain, which is one of the two most important corn and soybean producing areas in that country. And it really got very dry there for a little while. Now, the southern part of this dry region got some relief this past weekend, and it looks like the northern portion of the dry area is going to get some relief here over the next few days. And if that does occur as advertised, they should be back on track again without any loss in production potential.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. This is Illinois Public Media.